Great to see you. Great to see you. Welcome to Midweek in Mayfair. This will be our last one for a month or so. August, we will take a break. One thing, there's a shame. It's good to have a rest, but in some sense, it's a shame because actually, sometimes in August, many of us will have slightly less pressured days. Lunches are slightly easier to take, aren't they, over August? So it may well be that an email goes round and a few want to gather for lunch at some point. If we have a nice day, we could even do it outside. Who could tell? That may well happen in August, but formally then this is our last one until actually the 13th of September. Probably not the 6th, the 13th of September we'll be back here. A few changes then. The best one will be that Matt Beebe, good to have another man called Matt, will join the team, and since he'll be the first person to be dedicated really to working here with this lunchtime work midweek in Mayfair. So that's enormously exciting. Even more exciting for him will be if we could fund that place. So he's coming and hoping that all will work out. We've still got a little way to go on that. So I know there'll be some who have expressed interest in giving towards that. That'd be a great time to get involved to actually be proactive and do something. There's information, you can either grab it from outside or the email there on the back of the sheet. This is our last look then at these first few chapters of the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, looking at God's wisdom, these sort of pegs in the ground that get given to us at the beginning of the book of Proverbs. This chapter 10 starts with the sort of more pithy one-liners. If you're wondering what to do on holiday, a great thing to do actually is to take the book of Proverbs for a month and just read a chapter a day. It's effortless. It's normally my practice over the summer to do that. It's normally in August, normally away often on holiday at some point and forget to take anything else to read with me. So to take the book of Proverbs and read a chapter a day, it's a really healthy thing to do. And normally there's one verse in particular, one little one-liner in chapter 10 onwards, and I think, oh, that's intriguing. Mull it over in my mind, play with it. It's a very healthy thing to do. So we're in chapter 9 then, before we get the last of the introductory chapters to the book of Proverbs. Let me read it, and then we'll pray. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says, to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he'll hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you. Instruct a wise man, and he'll be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman folly is loud. She's undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says, to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that sometimes you make life very simple for us, or you certainly make your word very simple for us, as we have these two characters, wisdom, foolishness, calling out. Would we listen to the voice of wisdom? Would you both help us to understand what this means? Would you give us the heart, the ambition, desire to walk the path of wisdom rather than folly in our home lives and certainly in our workplaces? Would you convince us again of how wonderful it is to walk that path, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Matt, thank you. Life is full of choices. Do I stay in my current job or do I look for another one? shall I stay living where I am, or shall I look for somewhere else to live? Shall I invest my money in A or in B? As long as it might be, shall I retire in the next year or in a few years' time? I don't know what it is. Everyone faces choices. Apparently we're the generation that's got more freedom, can have more choice than any other before us in history. But as we come to today's passage in the book of Proverbs, this is a book where the father is giving his advice to his son. He says to his son, there's one choice I really want to point you to. A choice that has eternal consequences. Choose one way, it's a wise way, it's wisdom's way, it leads to life. He says, choose the other way, that's folly's way, and it leads to death. That's right, that's up sort of the father here, as he speaks in this final poem. I don't know if you spotted in this passage, in this poem, it's got a lovely little structure to it. So verses 1 to 6, we've got Lady Wisdom, and she's calling out. And then in verses 13 to 18, we have Lady Folly, she's calling out. And the father says to the son, these are your two choices. Look where they lead. So let's have a look at those two choices in turn. And then we'll come to verses sort of 7 to 12, where the father gives his advice on what it means to choose wisdom. So firstly, it's probably worth noting the similarities between these two women. Well, firstly, they're two women, and they both prepared a house. I don't know if you saw it. Verse 1, Wisdom, she built a house. And in verse 14, Folly, she sits at the door of her house. And they both got food. So Lady Wisdom, she's been very busy. She prepared a meal, verse 2, with meat and mixed wine. Lady Folly, she's also inviting into to food, but hers is, well, it's stolen water and food eaten in secret, verse 17. And then they both call out from the highest point in the city, verse 3 and verse 14. That's the point, I assume, where everybody could hear them. I guess in London it's like going to the top of now would be the Shard of Glass, once it becomes, it's fully built. Two women standing up there with megaphones calling out for London. We've got Woman Wisdom and Woman Folly. So they're both out there and they're both calling out the same thing. So verse 4 and verse 16. These women say, let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Two women, both calling out to come into their houses. But actually, if we look a bit closer, we find the houses actually are very different. So let's have a look firstly at the House of Wisdom. And she comes across as a very noble patron. She's quite industrious. She's built this house. It's got seven pillars. It's a sort of perfect house. She's got meat and mixed wine. It's quite a feast. I don't know what you would say is your favourite restaurant around here in Mayfair. Just doing a little bit of research. Apparently the only three-star Michelin restaurant here is Alan Ducasse of Dorchester. But you get the feeling this is Wisdom's house. It's a place of meat and mixed wine. But ultimately, verse 6, I think, is the key to understanding her house. I'll summarise it on the sheet. It's a place of understanding and life. So he says, leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. I'm thinking, a bit like a child growing up. Since they start off immature and they grow up and they learn things about the world and they gain understanding. I think about it from my own life. I remember when I was a little child, to get my mum, she always used to go to the bank and get money out. I think at the time I thought that banks, that's what they did. You just went there and you got money out. And you went there and got as much money as you needed. And then you grow up and you realise. Actually, that's why my dad wasn't there. He was earning money to put money in a bank account. You grow up. So I think that's the picture here in verse 6. In Wisdom's house, you come in simple. And you gain understanding and you become wise. And also it's a place of love. A place where people live. So you have it, Wisdom's house. It's attractive, it's a perfect house. There's a big banquet. There's true understanding. And there's life. And then we've got Folly's house. Now, Folly, she's quite different, isn't she? Verse 13, you get this picture of a loud woman who's undisciplined and without knowledge, calling out to people.
house, Olive house, you can live how you want. I said, she doesn't seem to have built her house. She just sits at the door of it. I was struck how, in Wisdom's house, she sent out maids to invite people in. Ollie just sits. Sits and calls out. But it's enticing. She says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. She's quite seductive as she calls people into her house. It's a place of pleasure, it seems. A place of fun, which she seems to be enticing people in with. And it's funny how something that doesn't do often very much, and yet is quite attractive. Next to the Christchurch Mayfair building is a new bunny club, as they opened in the press a few weeks ago. Actually, the building's pretty unattractive. And yet, what is it outside inside? It doesn't need to be attractive to lure people in. But the reality of Folly's house is, I think, verse 18, that people go in, but little do they know that their dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. So going into Folly's house is like going to a cemetery. We're going to have dinner with some dead skeletons. That's how the father says to the son. That's what it's like if you go to Folly's house. And it's a piece of ignorance. But little do they know. People look at it from the outside and they don't realise the reality of the inside. I caught an episode of a programme on Channel 4 recently, Help My House Is Falling Down. And basically, it's a bunch of people who fail to get a decent surveyor, and they buy a house and then realise it's a disaster. And the one I caught, they went up on the roof and showed they failed to. They openly admitted that they didn't get a surveyor, and now the roof is too heavy and it's pushing the outside walls out. It was a disaster. But actually, it looks okay from the outside. It looks okay, and he went in and had a nice kitchen, nice bathroom. But actually, it was a disaster. It's a bit like Folly's house. It seduces you in. But little do they know that when you get in there, well, the dead are in at Folly's house. So after the two choices the father sets out that sort of begin and end this final poem, there's a house of wisdom, which is a place of understanding in life. And there's a house of folly, a place of ignorance and death. And then the father comes to the sort of the heart of his advice. So it's quite obvious, you look at these two houses and think, yeah, wisdom's the place to be. That's what the father's trying to persuade the son to go to, but how do you get there? So let's look through the verses. Verses 7 to 9, though, we start off with the difference between a wise man and a foolish man and how they gain understanding, how they take correction and rebuke. So verse 7, you correct a mocker, you get an insult back. You rebuke a wicked man, you get abuse. You rebuke a mocker, he hates you. That's the foolish way of living. By contrast, the wise man, you rebuke him and he loves you for it. You instruct a wise man and he becomes wiser still. You teach a righteous man and he adds to his learning. So I think our experience testifies to that being true. I guess remember here, we have people that work for them. And you set a task to a junior colleague and they go away and they bring it back and you think, that's quite what I wanted. So you give them some thought, say, well, maybe if you did A, B and C, this would be a better piece of work next time. And then you set them a similar bit of work a few weeks later and the person comes back, they've taken your advice on board, you think, yeah, that's wise, you've listened. And much better. There's nothing more frustrating, is there, than getting a piece of work back. You think, I had all the mistakes I warned you against last time. So I think our experience says that's true, that is a wise man who listens to rebuke and acts upon it. And yeah, I think about it personally. How often am I the foolish man? Actually, someone corrects me and I think I go one of two ways. I either go, no, you're wrong. I know better than you. And you try and justify the work you've done and the way you've acted. Or alternatively, I just blame someone else. Someone else's fault. Or more like the computer's fault, the printer's fault, someone else's fault. And so I think we recognise that, but the question then remains, what should be correcting us? What should be rebuking us? I think that's where we get to in verse 10. The father says, this one's been the motto, the theme of these early poems in the book of Proverbs. the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The God who made heavens and earth, who made everything, he sustains everything. Actually, true wisdom is found starting with him, coming to him. We looked at this a few weeks ago. But actually, our world doesn't believe that. I'm sure we went around Berkeley Square this lunchtime and they did a little survey. I'm sure the fear of the Lord would not come out as the beginning of wisdom. And I did a little bit of research this week on books where you can get wisdom. Apparently you can even now buy books that tell you about books that have wisdom in them. It's extraordinary. So this one is 50 inspirational books to transform your life from timeless sages to contemporary gurus. Apparently I was on Amazon in the product description, this is what we got. Thousands of self-help and personal success books have been written. Each has offered a secret to personal power, fulfillment and well-being. But which are the all-time classics? Which ones really can change your life? Ranging from cutting-edge academic psychology to the wisdom of ancient philosophy and religion, and to the proven techniques of business and motivational gurus. 50 self-help classics guide you to the proven titles in the field, compiling hundreds of life-changing ideas into one book. Yes. There's all sorts of wisdom on offer. Lots of different books. But the Psalm says to the Psalm, actually, true wisdom begins with the Lord. And it's begins with a fear of him. And probably we're saying again, we've said this before, that's not a fear like of the angry boss. It's not the fear of someone who you're scared of. If you're a Christian here today, trusting in Jesus Christ, we come to God as our Father, but also recognising who he is as the one who made the whole world. So with that in place, says the Father, that's where true wisdom is found. It brings us to the heart of the Christian life. See, the wise man is the one who does accept correction, who wants to understand learning and comes to God for it. That is the path of wisdom. And actually, the Christian life begins with accepting, since God's rebuke. We haven't loved God as we should, we haven't loved our neighbour as we should. And it's only when we admit that we can come to Jesus for forgiveness. Coming to understand our sin, and how we deserve God's righteous judgment. But actually, Jesus is punished so we can be forgiven. Sometimes we start the Christian life by being the wise man who accepts the rebuke of God, coming to Jesus Christ as the place we can get right with God, and then coming to his word as the place where we get learning. And that's right, I think in a sense also, the Father is encouraging the Son that actually you need other people to teach you God's word, to encourage you, to give you wisdom and learning from the Bible through people teaching it, but also individuals to encourage us and at times maybe admonish us. Hearing rebuke is hard. And I was thinking about it, I remember one time someone came to me and said, actually, it's not a question of a decision you're going to make. So I was new in London, I'd just arrived, a trainee solicitor, and I was thinking about spending 4 months abroad at an office out in Brussels. And I mentioned this to one of the guys at church, and he said to me, is that the best thing you could do? Is that a wise thing to do? You're new to London, you're just trying to settle into church, you'll be away from your church family, you'll be in a country where you won't find it easy to get to know Christians in only 4 months. And you've got a language barrier to get through as well. He said, maybe it won't be the best career move, but I wonder if that's a wise move spiritually. I didn't want to hear it at the time, but actually I did take his advice. And looking back, I'm very thankful for it. That actually it would have been a bit of a spiritual disaster in that first year to have taken 4 months away from church and getting to know people in a new city. So I think the mark of the wise man from these verses is that he chooses wisdom and he walks humbly before God. That's how to bring us to a way of conclusion. I mean, that's verse 11 and 12. So you follow the way of wisdom, this way of fear of the Lord, humbly coming to him for understanding and learning, and it results in many days being added to your life. Verse 11. Your wisdom will reward you, verse 12. And that was true of the house of wisdom that he pointed out at the beginning. It's a place where you get understanding and life. So in Jesus Christ, it points to what we have in him, that there will be a banquet to come. There will be a life, eternal life with him. As those Christians, the author said, the Father's encouraging us. Choose wisdom. Choose to walk with humble fear before God. Come humbly to his word for learning and understanding. And by contrast, I think we need to heed the warning of woman folly. Across all the places to find wisdom, away from God. But actually that wisdom, well, in folly's house, the dead are there. Her guests are in the depth of the grave. It looks good, but the result's very different. And so we need to remember, choose wisdom. Brings us to closing. If anyone's got any questions, comments, to ask.
Good or no reason why Jesus survived?
Sorry. How do you think the fear of the Lord plays out on a day to day basis?
So ultimately, fear of the Lord is, what's the framework for my decision making? Do I start with God or am I starting somewhere else? That was the Father's encouragement at the beginning. That's where you start with his word, working out what it says in the scriptures. So, day-to-day life, that's where it begins. Recognising also that there's going to come a time when Jesus will return, when there will be a judgment day, when everyone will be held accountable. With that in mind, that is there. And as Christians, we don't need to fear that day, because Jesus paid the sin. The warning that colleagues who don't know Jesus, that is going to be a truly awful day.
So, in effect, making sure that the basis for our decision is the recognition of our belief and what we're expecting in the future, and considering judgment from all of that, gives us that essence in which we make our decision.
Yeah. And I think that's the idea of the one-liners there, that the Father will go on to give to the Son and the rest of the book. He set the framework that there's a wise path and a foolish path. Wise path with God, foolish path without. And I made decisions within that.
Well, I think the second part of that, about understanding, is also very important, because we see a lot of circumstances in which somebody has very good faith. I don't know if anyone else saw the program on the life of Muhammad, as an example of somebody who had great faith and a religious experience and he struggled to put into words. He had no understanding. He had no theological, of course, no books in those days. And where you have faith without understanding, then you can get into real trouble. You know, if you don't have somebody, keeping you on the right path and all that sort of thing, you can have tremendous faith in you have a relationship with the Lord as well. But you do need understanding as well, or you can then not only misunderstand yourself, but in Muhammad's case, set things off in a tremendous tangent, which can be a bit of a disaster. So hence sort of James, the book of James, of saying, be careful of your tongue and what you say, and without that understanding, I think part of wisdom is knowing your own limitations, knowing that, as you start your Christian journey, being careful before you, you start sort of preaching to other people when you're not a teacher, when you haven't had the training, all that sort of thing. I think the understanding part of that is very important as well.
I wonder if the fear of the Lord is, I trust you and I disagree with you. So Proverbs 1-9 basically is the same point, bang on and on and on. Choose wisdom, not folly. Essentially 9 chapters of that. Because then you get 22 chapters of the more famous sort of Proverbs, the one-liners. And I think anyone in the West End, you could give it to, and probably half at least, they'd say, yeah, I agree with that proverb. Yeah, that makes sense to me. There's lots which people understand. But when you disagree, or when you think, yes, I can see it's right, I can see generally broad brush, it's good to be honest in business. I just got this one little example here, and there's on this particular deal, just be useful if I'm just a little flexible with the truth on this one. But the fear of the Lord says, you do what's right. So 9 chapters of, before we get onto the content, listen to God, follow his path, not your own instincts, even when you disagree with it. Now, let me tell you some stuff, because you'll agree with some, but some you won't like. So before I tell you the things you won't like, resolve in your heart, you're going to walk wisdom's path, God's path.